I want to welcome everybody back to the Biblical People, Places, and Things share. You know, the Shiurim on the Megillah are some of my favorite in the Biblical People, Places, and Things series. And the opportunity to share them with you all help me and help us, I think, develop an even more exciting appreciation for the Yontif of Purim that's about to be upon us. So let's take a look at today's shiur. And again, just for those of you who are new at the shiur, what we like to do here is we like to take a person, a place, and a thing, and or a thing, and try to figure out what's that doing in my Megillah? What's it doing in the Sefer? Of course, to do that, you need to know the theme of the Sefer, and you need to be able to put it in context and figure out what it is that we're supposed to be learning from the particular presentation. So today, I think I want to talk about a person who appears a lot in the Megillah, but plays more of a role in this coming Shabbos in the Haftorah of the week as well. I talk, of course, about Agag. In the Megillah, if you look at source number one in front of you, and it's always more helpful to follow the Shurim if you have the sources in front of you, the Esther Hamalka introduces us to her terrible enemy, to Haman. Acharat Varim Ha'ila, the Megillah tells us, after these things, Gidal HaMelech HaChashverosh as Haman ben Hamdasa. She, HaChashverosh, raised up Haman ben Hamdasa. But then he gets a title, Ha'agagi. In fact, whenever we go through the Megillah, Haman is constantly referred to as Ha'agagi. And of course, we're told, Vayinaseu, he's raised up. Vayasim as Kiso Me'al Kol HaSarim HaSharito. He got a higher level than all the other people. Where's Agagi? What nation? Which of the 70 nations is Agagi? So then why don't you say that? So say Amalek, right. So why don't we say, as Haman ben Hamdasa HaAmaleki? And isn't Purim part of the Amalek thing? We have Zachor, we've got the Yotros, you got everything else. So I agree, why not say Amalek? It's a very good question, good point. And of course, sticking to Agagi versus Amalek, obviously, that's going to have to relate to the Purim theme. The Purim theme, for those who are listening, who may not have joined us in the past, is Chuasam Hayisa Lanetzach V'Sikvasam B'Chol Dar V'Dar L'Hodiyah Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu V'Lo Yikom Lanetzach Kol HaChosim. We sing it in the Shoshanas Yaakov. It's to show that those who place their trust in Hashem, they will never be unhappy. They will never go away unanswered. So what does that have to do with choosing Agag as opposed to his predecessor, Amalek? After all, we don't say Zachor Yisashor Asalacha Agagi, Baderech Mitzayis Chamim Mitzrayim. Nobody asks me, can you be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Zachor if you read the Haftorah, which, by the way, you cannot. So why is it that when we go ahead and we deal with the situation, why is it that Agag is such a fundamental? So, of course, the first thing I want to ask is, maybe, what? Oh, so you want to say Agag lived a lot later than the Torah, right? Well, that's not so simple, because let's take a look. Where's the first reference? Where is the first mention of Agag in the Tanakh? No, it's not in Sefer Shmuel, believe it or not. Agag is named beforehand. By whom? Bilam, of course. Take a look at source number two. Bilam's in the process of giving his brachos for Am Yisrael, and he makes the declaration, Yizal Mayim Midalyo Vizaro Bimayim Rabim Viaro Me'agag Malko V'tzino Se Malchuso. You know, the water shall flow from its buckets. What does that have to do with anything? So take a look at Targum Yonason. The Targum Yonason brings down a tremendous amount of behind-the-scenes interpretation. I'm going to read the Kesser Yonason, which is the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic. It's source source number three in front of you. Listen to the Kesser Yonason. Yukumen ho mehem malcheyem. From Am Yisrael, their kings shall rise. Ubodeyem mehem ubohem yiyu. They're going to save them, and they're going to be Vizaram, and their children, Banav Shel Yaakov, Yishlatu Ba'amim Rabim. Right? Their children are going to go ahead, and they're going to lord and rule over many nations. Harishon Sheyimloch Aleihem Yilachim Milchama B'Shel Beis Amalek. The first one is going to fight a battle with Amalek. Who's the first one? Right, Shaul HaMelech. V'yisromeim al Agag Malkam. And he's going to rule over Agag, their leader. Yeah. And what's going to happen? Ubavosha Yirachim Alav. Because he showed such rachmanas, so what's going to happen to him? So his malchus is going to get lost. And Rashi in source 3a makes a similar comment. He says, V'yaromi agag malko, melech rishon shelahem, just like the Targum Yonason says, yichboshes agag melech amalek. V'tinase malchuso doesn't mean it shall be taken away from him. That's the way Kesa Yonason learns it. Instead, Rashi says, "V'sinase malchusa she Yaakov yoser v'yoser." It's going to be better and better. Sheyavo acharav David uShlomo. So on the one hand, Targum Yonason says, "Tinase malchusa, off with your head," right? And it's a reference to Shlomo Amelech's Shaul Amelech's failing. And later, Rashi seems to interpret it more in regard to the rise of David and Shlomo. Now, if the Torah is telling us that Bilam was already offering this type of process, a prophecy, this nevuah, why is he doing that? Why is it so simple? And why would we doom Shaul and punish him if this was supposed to be predestined to be that way? And by the way, if Mordechai and Esther are descendants of Shaul, as we know, Ishimini, then why would they leave a Megillah that would so clearly highlight their sin, the sin of their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather that cost him his royal lineage? Don't you think they would want to put that on the side? Why is it that at this point in time in their lives, they want to keep referring, every time they talk about Haman, to keep referring to the fact that their great-great-great-grandfather messed up and didn't take advantage? It just doesn't seem to make sense. So to summarize, slow down. So far, we are working with Agag. I'm not interested in Mordechai and Esther. I'm only interested in Mordechai and Esther from the perspective of why it is that they're highlighting Agag. Agag, it sounds like, was already preordained. The episode was already preordained. But refer to him as an Amaleki. Why do we refer to him as an Agagi? It seems even more so that Mordechai and Esther specifically should have been the ones to do that. You don't know the story? Okay, so let's learn the story. It was in the Haftorah. So let's take a look. The story of Agag. I'm going to bring some of it down. It's in sources 5 and 6. So, of course, it happens that God goes to Shmuel HaNavi and he tells him to go tell Shaul HaMelech Lech V'kisa Samalek. And, of course, Vayishama Shaul HaSam V'yifkedem V'atla'im, they're successful, right? And Shaul sees the nation and Masayim Elef Ragli V'aser Salavim is issued. He sees them all getting involved. Vayavo Shaul at Ir Amalek, Vayar Banachal. Shaul goes to the battle of Amalek with 120,000 people from Yehuda to go fight with Amalek, and he rests in the Nachal. What's he doing in the Nachal? We'll have to come back to that. Vayomer Shaul Akini. So, of course, Amalek is living together with the children of Yisro, which, again, not for now, but to take a look at that context. That Shaul turns to the Keni descendants of Yisro, and he tells them, L'chusur redu mitoch Amaleki, and we want you to move away. Peno sifcha imo, because we don't want to have to kill you together with the Amalekim. V'yatoh asisa chesedim kol b'nei Yisrael ba'alos amim Mitzrayim. You did chesed when they came out of Mitzrayim. You were good to Am Yisrael. I don't want to do anything to you. That's going to hurt. So v'yasa Keni mitoch Amalek. Keni got up, and they moved away from Amalek. Yes. So, Amalek is there by themselves, ripe for the taking. And so what does the Pasuk say? Vayach Shaul es Amalek. So Shaul came along and he knocked out Amalek. Mechavila bo achashur asher al p'nei Mitzrayim. From Chavila all the way down. Vayit pos es Agag melech Amalek chai. Now critical to our storyline is Agag gets captured alive. As kolam hecharim l'fichar, everybody else is killed off. Now, take a look. Everybody else. Ostensibly, that's men, women, and children. So Shaul and the nation chose a certain degree of rachmanos al Agag to Agag and to what else? V'almeitav atzon v'abakar v'amishnin, and the best part of the sheep and the cattle, v'alkarim v'alkol atof, and on the good, the pillows and the things that are very fancy. Anything that wasn't worth keeping, that they destroyed. That was their game plan. So, of course, God gets pretty upset about the situation, and he has a whole conversation with Shmuel, and Shmuel has to come and try to defend Shaul. And then later, Shmuel comes up to Shaul. They have a whole debate back and forth, as you read in the Haftorah, right? And towards the end, at the end of the parak, which is also part of the Haftorah, Vayomer Shmuel, so Shmuel declares, Hagishu Elias, Elias, Agag Melech Amalek, bring me Agag. Vayelech Elav Agag Me'adanos, so Agag from Adanos comes along, Vayomer Agag, and Agag sees the eye to eye with Shmuel, and he makes the following declaration, Achein Sar Mar Hamaves, the bitterness of death is gone. So what does he mean, mar hamavis? Sar mar hamavis, it's gone. The bitterness of it. What death is bitter? What death is not bitter? Yeah, but why is Agag paying attention to that? His entire country, his entire nation, totally destroyed in front of his face. His most greatest enemy, and a holy man, is about to kill him. What's he supposed to take from that? Why is that mara? Why, what does he mean? Vayomer Shmuel, so Shmuel responds to him and he says, Kasher Shiklona Shimcharbecha, just as women dealt with your sword, Kain Tishgal Minasha Mimecha, your mother should also be in that way. Vayishasif Shmuel Asagag Lifnei Hashem Bagilgal, and Shmuel killed him. Vayel Shmuel Aramasa, Vishol Allah Elvaso Givasho. Shmuel went to the Ramah, Shaul went to Givasho, Velo Yasav Shmuel Arosa Shaul Ad Yomoso. Shmuel can't deal with Shaul anymore. Shmuel was already, he was sebrachin, he was broken, he was in Avelus, he mourned over Shaul. V'Hashem nicham, kiyem l'chese Shaul al Yisrael. Hashem also showed a different aspect of nechama. He was upset that he had appointed Shaul HaMelech. Now, Shaul messes up a mitzvah, and it costs him his life. It costs him his legacy, it costs him everything. How does Shaul mess up a mitzvah? God told him, Lech v'hikisa es Amalek, right? And he told him, do this, don't do anything else. How does a person mess that up? And not any person. Somebody's identified as Mishichmo v'amala gavoa mikolam, somebody who's from shoulders, he was head and shoulders above the rest. How does he mess that up? And what does Agag mean in that Marhamaba situation? And of course we have to put this all back, because Agag continues to have a legacy, and it appears in our Purim Megillah. What's going on over here? Let's try to figure it out. I think it comes back to the depths of the valley. The Gemara in Yuma, source number 7 in front of you, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Vayorev Banochal. What does it mean that he was there, Vayorev Banochal? Amar Rav Mani says, Al Iske Nachal. He had a battle over the issues of the Nachal. In other words, Bishash Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shaul, when God spoke to Shaul, and he said, Lech V'kisas Amalek. What did he tell him? He said, go, destroy Amalek. So Shaul says as follows, Uma Nefesh Achas Amar Torah Havei Egla Rufa. When we have a particular murder of a single individual, the Torah tells us, bring an Egla Rufa. So Kol HaNefesh Asalal Achas Kama Kama. If he killed somebody here with no reason, right, and we don't know who does it, Alachas Kama Kama, we're going to have a much bigger problem. Vim Adam Chata, and furthermore, okay, so maybe the man deserves the death penalty, but Behema Machata, what's the reason for the punishment of the animals? That does sound like Yonah, right? Vim Gedolim Chatu, and if the adults sinned, Ketana Machatu. So Yatsabasko V'yamar Lo, Alti Tzadik Arbe, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent out a basko and said to Shaul HaMelech, don't be such a groisa tzaddik. It's not your job. What's the Gemara saying? Alti tzaddik harbe. Don't be such a tzaddik. He was right. The animals didn't sin, and the children didn't sin. So why is he wrong? What's the message? By the way, how does God respond? So let me read you a Gemara in Gittin. What's the end of Agag's lineage? What's the end? No. No. There's a future to Agag. If there was no future, we wouldn't be reading Parsha Zohar this week. It would have been something that would have been past. So what's the future? Take a look at Umari Gidden on Daphne and Zion Amid Bay, source number 8 in front of you. Mibnei Bonav Shel Haman. Mibnei Bonav Shel Haman. That's correct. Lamdu Torah B'Bnei Brak. Wow, and it sounds in the end like God agrees with Shaul, right? That's sure enough, the children didn't sin. Quite the opposite, they have a future. So can you imagine what would have happened if Shaul hadn't made that decision? So maybe Shaul was right. I know, if I stop right here, Shaul would be right. But the shir goes on. Take a look at the Marasha. So the Marasha turns around over here and he says, well, if you look, he says, if you look in the Perek B'Ameh Behema in Masechta Shabbos, Hevi Rashi Zeh Adrash V'lo Nakat B'Milsei Behema Machata. Rashi doesn't bring down the issue of the animals. Why? Because Hainu De'ikar Milsei D'chol HaNefesh HaSalalu Lo Mashmal HaNefesh Adam. Right? If you follow Shaul's argument, the animal issue is of secondary nature. It's the first, the primary nature that requires explanation. And by the way, B'Pirish Rashi B'Sefer Shmuel If you look at Rashi's commentary in Navi, it's not that he leaves out the animals over there, he leaves out the issue about the ketanim. Why the change? Why in one place does Rashi quote the animal part of the argument, that what did the animals do? And in another place, he quotes the issue of, he leaves out the children part. Why, what's the basis? V'nira says the Marasha, the hainu mishum de lo matinu b'kra, we never find in the pasuk shechamal shol al ketanim klal. We never find in the pasuk that Shaul showed any mercy on the ketanim. El al meitav atzom v'abakar. V'yesh li yashiv talmudenu dekim adiksiv chamal al agag mistama chamal nami al ketanim shalochatu klal. Right? If he showed chemla, chemla should have extended to the children. So for the record, the children might have been saved. That's correct. And if they were saved, where are they? Well, maybe they all did follow. That's right. Maybe that's what the Gemara means. So does that mean Shaul gave up on Mechias Amalek? Or if we get Amalek to convert, right, does that count as Mechias Amalek? It's a Machlokas Tosis in the Rambam. Think about it. You're sitting in yeshiva one day, the word goes out, go ahead and be Mocha Amalek, and the guy sitting next to you in the base medrash is a descendant of Amalek who converted. You have to get up and kill him? You know, it's crazy. Sounds like a wild idea. Yeah, it's a wild idea. So that's actually a Machlokas. Well, let's bring it back to our issue at hand. When we're dealing with Shaul's mistake, how do we deal with the issue of the children? How do we deal with the issue of the animals? These are all Shaul's arguments. Sounds pretty plausible and logical. So why was he wrong and why was he punished? And by the way, what does this all have to do with Agag versus Amalek? Remember, let's not forget that. And what does this do for us with our issue in the Megillah? So let's go back to the person we started with. Let's talk about Agag. What does the word Agag mean? So I think I have three major possibilities. Possibility number one, the easiest one of them all. Agag is what you call the leader of the Amaleki people. It's like the Rashbam says, source 10, V'yarom me'agag malko, Shaul. Shaul's going to rise up over Agag. Call Malchei Amalek Nikurim Agag, right? Just like we call the kings of Egypt Paro, we call the kings of Plishtim Avimelech, we call the leaders of Yerushalayim Malki Tzedek or Adoni Tzedek, Tzedek Yalimba. So too, when we deal with Amalek, we refer to Amalek leaders as Agag. So Agag just means the leader. Does that mean that in our Megillah, Haman is identified as an Amalek leader? And we never find he had any followers. What's up with that? Possibility number two. Maybe it just means leader in general. The Chassidish Rebbe, the Maisa Hashem brings down, he says, when we talk about V'yarom me'agag malko, Pirish Rashi, melech rishon shelohem, yichbosh agag melech amalek. Their first leader will go ahead and capture Agag. V'haramban kosav, the Ramban writes, Kirachoku sheyikra hanabi shem harasha b'terem notzar mibeten. It must be that this term existed beforehand. The term was going to be any leader of Amalek. Any leader of Amalek gets to be referred to as Agag. And so therefore, by definition, he's going to be one of the people who is a leader. Uladaiti, says the author of the Maisa, Hashem, kol sar gadol haya nikra Agag. Shekem b'malchus turgama arayon korin l'sar gadol me'od aga. In Turgama, they call any leader aga. Bein hakavana ba'amalek, it's not just to be a leader of Amalek. You get to a madrega in world leadership. You can be called president, you could be called king, you could be secretary general, and then you could be aga. Aga, if you look at 11a, this is something that's true at Ayom. Aga, also A-G-A, in the Ottoman Turkish, and the Persian, it all means chief master or lord. It's an honorific title for a civilian or a military officer, right? And so it doesn't have anything to do with the man Agag. The term Agagi may have nothing to do with Agag. And if that's the case, why am I making a reference to it in my as my Haftorah for Parsha Zachar? Now I'm totally confused. And by the way, doesn't someone have to be appointed a leader before he is one? So if Gidal HaMelech HaChashverosh HaSaman HaAgagi, if he raised him up and he was already Agag, then what did he raise him up to? So possibilities 1 and 2 are very difficult for us. What else could Agag mean? So I want to quote the B'nai Yisaskar. The B'nai Yisaskar, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Dinever, so he brings down the possibility that it's actually not a positive, but rather a negative. You know, after the whole story, after Vigam Chavona, after Chavona goes ahead and Haman is hung, but Tosef Esther Vatidaber Lifnei HaMelech, the Megillah tells us that Esther cried out, and she cried to Etachashverosh, and she asked, Vatishani no lahavir Esra'as Haman Ha'agagi. In the 8th parak, we see that Esther is still referring to Haman as Agagi. Now, listen to the to Yish Dinever. He says as follows: Yesh lizbonin mipnei ma achar pegiraso. Why is it after he's dead? Piraso agagi mashein king kodem lizeh. Why is he still being called ha'agagi? Right? When she refers to him other times, she refers to him as Hamelech veHaman. Right? She doesn't call him ha'agagi. V'nir al pi mashachakar arav agadol agadol ir vekadish orenu chida. It sounds like he wants to quote the Chidah. The Chidah is not just a haphazard quotation. His Yartzeit this week says the Chidah, Ma kol harasha zeh shel Esther achar pegiras Haman levakish lahavir es ra'as agzera. What's the big deal that she's going after after the king to ask him to go ahead and get rid of the rule? Hello, Kaimalan, wasn't it one of the rules that existed back then? Imayis chad minayu batli gezerasa? The Gemara in Tainus brings down that if somebody had a rule, and that rule led to a gezerah, and one of the people pushing the gezerah would drop dead, it would be like, I don't know, let's say the house would have a resolution. And in the resolution, they would have some sort of evil intent, like to whitewash some crazy idea. And then all of a sudden somebody in Machshama B'Zichra would drop dead, right? Then by definition, in the olden days, that would mean the Gezerah would be batel. Ayin Shem B'Dvarav. Says the Ritzirish Dinever, to answer the Chidah's question, why the same thing wasn't true over here. Why is it that Haman's decree needed to be nullified? Why was Esther still crying? Says Rav Dinever, V'nira lomar shebekan choshesha Esther shlo yivatlu chasu shalom agzeira al yidei zeh. Esther thought that this time the gzeira would not be rescinded, the decree would not be rescinded. Dehatam shemivatlu nagzeira imayis chad minayu sheshovdim b'daiton shemaskimim min hashamayim. The reason why the rule was that if somebody dies, he gets kicked, the gzeira gets batel, is overturned, is because the people start to think to themselves, gee, I guess God doesn't agree. The people are scared. Hey, one of the leaders died. But that wasn't the case with Haman. They were going to assume, the Persians, that Haman was a faker. Since he was an agagi. Harehu eved. Right? Agagi means Eved, so they think that he penetrated to the point that he is an Eved. They knew that Agag didn't have anybody of stature. It was at that night when she was in the prison with Shaul. He impregnated a shivcha. If that's the case, Zera Hatame, whoever, if that's the case, whatever Agag impregnated was a shivcha, the descendant of a shivcha is a slave. So Haman should not have been able to be a sar. Pen Yomru, so maybe the Persians would say, Shizelo Mikri Mais Chad Minayu. They're going to say that maybe that means that the person who died, who was Haman, was not one of our leaders. Shemeolam Lahaya Roy Lios Nimna Imsari Amelech. He should never have been included. Ki Eved Bechashu Kibahema. Zel Shanir Mavs Vidivre Esther Shechinin Adlavir Esras Haman Awagagi. Shainu Shiomer Shiyev Shalismoch Alakal. She doesn't want them just to get rid of Haman's intent. She wants Haman HaAgagi to be forgotten, right? Which means, please, please, don't rely, that thought that you can't rely on the general rule, get rid of that thought. Even Shu'agagi, U'me'olam ho'loi aroi lios nimnei machim, ha'kemocha chani levaki shu'loschanei nazah. Lest you think that the original decree stands, but the ability to get rid of it doesn't stand automatically, because Haman should never have been able to make the rule, but Ahasuerus made a mistake. But that mistake must be godly ordained. So Esther had to go ahead and beg. Ergo, what do we learn about Agagi? No, I know. I don't want to talk about that piece. Let's stick. What does Agagi mean? Right. Agagi is a pejorative term. It means not roi. It means slave. It means something negative. So here we've got Agagi being a positive in the first two interpretations. And now Agagi being a negative, that seems very, very strange. Usually in our shiurim, we like it when things line up. So how are we going to make things line up properly? Tell me something about Amalek. Anything you know. Anything? Amalek is the nation of the here and now. All the Bali Musa, when they talk about Amalek, they point out, Asher Karcha Baderech, right? They tried to cool you off. They jumped in on you now. Listen to the language. Yeah, I quoted the Yotzir Shdenever before. Let me quote him again. This time in Source 13. Amalek is referred to as the leader. Hu Adas, right? What does it mean? Hu Adas Hara Emunos HaKozabios Chachmos HaChitzonios Mehadas Shebesitra Achra. Right? Amalek brings in all the foreign ideas. Why? Because they come from that side that enters our minds. V'ram levavecha. Ram, resh mem, is 240. Bigamachia, Amalek. Ram is Amalek. Now you understand what Agag says when he says, Achin sar mar hamavis. He says, mar is rum, backwards, right? The rum of death, right, is has already passed. Why? Because when the Jews left Egypt, says Ritzir Shdenever, Migolos Hadas HaKlali, they left the exile of intellect. Hine al Omram Achakach Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Emayin. They got to the point where they actually forgot God. Hayidei Chetzeb Amalek. When Be'am Yisrael gets to the point of saying Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, at that moment in time, that's when Amalek comes to go ahead and attack us. Then we get into the situation of Ayobo Amalek. V'sorer klipa sadas hamut ba b'midos. That's when we get to the status of das in the midos. V'ad hayom. And we learn a lesson from here, says the Bnei Yisachar. Till today, kol hadeos haros v'emunos hakozavios v'chachmos hachitzonios umin ha'irev rav. You should understand that all the foreign ideas that exist within our nation, all the terrible positions, all the anti-Am Yisrael, the ideas, that all comes from the Erev Rav. What's Erev Rav? Erev Rav, Ayin Reish Beis, is the Gematria Das. That is the Gematria of Das. Shemi B'china Samalek. The foreign Das comes from Amalek. Why? Because what made up the Erev Rav? The Chamish Aminim Inam Be'erev Rav, Amalekim, Refoim, the Zohar HaKadosh brings up who were the Erev Rav, and first among them were the Amalekim. Ve'kayamun Klei Chamas al Yisrael. They put the Chamas on Am Yisrael. Why? Because they say Azav Hashem es haaretz. God left the city. Moshe left the city. Who was the area of Rav? They're the ones who came along and said, Kizeh Moshe Ish lo yadana mehayalo. And that's why, kashar anachnu mekayimim mitzvah zachor, that's why when we deal with Parsha Zachor, lo tishkach, tufar atzaso, b'min itin de'orei sabin. Right? Amalek says, look at where we are now. Don't think. Amalek says, look at the foreign ideas. Don't have any beyond today. Don't look at a past. Look at v'ram levavecha, get hardy. Right? What am I doing now? And only me. And my focus. That's the Amalek. But of course, when you leverage the now, what happens? You lose the Nitzchias. You lose the eternity. Oh, yeah, now we're starting the end. Now I see that smile. Now we'll see where we're starting. Let's put that back together. There is a recording if people are going to hear it. I think that's exactly what Agag does. Listen to Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok, HaKohen of Lublin, in source number 14, points the following out. He says, V'kiyom ha'olam hu b'mechias Amalek legamri. If the world is supposed to last, we have to get rid of the Amalek idea. When we say, we have a responsibility to get rid of. Why? Because by the process of getting rid of Amalek, by doing that, we will get rid of the world. The only problem is, Shol recognized, as we saw before, that there was going to be some nitzchias, there was some purpose. And of course, he thought to himself, and yes, since everything's connected, I will reference our Shabbos Blotchier, which just learned this Mishnah last week. Shol got nervous because he knew the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that Kol Makayim Nefesh Achas Miyisrael Kilu Kiyem Olam Malei. So he turned around and he thought, Chashav Al Yedei Zeh Kiyom Agag L'Kiyom Olam V'Shalol L'Chiyonam Nisor Rechem L'Zu B'Libo B'Leiv Knesset Yisrael. God, says Reb Tzadok, it seemed to imply that the purpose of Agag and the purpose of Amalek is to live in the here and now. That is a danger for Nitzchias. That is, and the world is a better place without people who only live in the here and now. Shol though saw that within Amalek there wasn't just the here and now. And so Shol decided, you God, you create an Amalek that's going to have a future. And so therefore, Vayachmo Shol va'amal Agag. Now listen to this underline. Take a look. B'shamati al mashakosav Agag madanos. V'targum yonosan kan mefamkin ki misha ra Agag b'pinuko lo haya esh mitzad teva anushi shlo yisor bo rachmanos. Agag had one of these like puppy dog eyes. Right? If you looked at him, you had Rachmanis. V'nisayon gadol haya shlo yachmelu. And that's why it was a big test not to show chemla for Shol. U'mikom makom gam zeu min ha-shamayim. This is also min ha-shamayim. V'achemla she'asover b'knesses Yisrael haya gam kena oso nito sa'asid latzeis. It says, Reb Tzadok, there was something that was there. And that's why Shol came along and he said, be careful. And he doubly warned him, don't have chemla. Because if you're going to have chemla, you're going to turn around and you're going to have mistaken chemla. And you're going to go ahead and you're going to do something that you shouldn't do. You know, in modern Jewish history, we have that episode that happened with the 35 guys in the Tevah Lamed Hay in the Etzion block. They showed a chemla, cost them all their lives. Yeah, the Gush block. Yeah, a terrible, terrible problem. Sometimes misplaced chemla is a danger. And so that's exactly what happened over here. Right? A person has to be careful. He has to be careful what he chooses. Right? And so Shol told him, don't do this. Right? Drop down a paragraph. Ulegodo Mila Shol, because of Shol's Mila, Mietzad Hara, right? He underestimated the evil of Agag, right? He was such a big tzaddik. That's what happens when you're too big a tzaddik. You don't have the ability to calculate the rishus of someone with puppy dog eyes, and so a person has to be careful. says Rav Tzadok, you have to have a seichel. It looks like, you know, showing rachmanis is a good thing. It's a midastika thing. But that's an avira. The Yitzhar is making you think that it's coming with a beard and a long coat and a beautiful hat. Like all of us, sometimes we think showing rachmanis is a good thing, but we have to understand that type of rachmanis is a danger. Shol's avera, it sounds like Rav Tzadok is saying, was his inability to see Amalek's immediacy, just to get its own way. Because Shol saw the prism of Nitzchias. If you are going to have a purpose in the future, you clearly cannot be evil. But that's a problem. And so therefore, Shol showed misplaced Nitzchias. How is one supposed to know which way to act? So take a look at a comment of the Akedas Yitzchak, source 15. He made a calculation for the ultimate purpose. He thought that the goal that God wanted in the battle with Amalek was to yashin the land, to inherit the land of Amalek. Shol really believed he had listened to the word of Hashem, right? But here's the rule. If a person divines through his own knowledge what exactly the purpose of God is, he's not gonna stop to think about, am I doing what was asked of me or not? He's gonna turn around and say, I know what ultimately the purpose is. But that's where you make a mistake, says Rav Tzadok, source 16, this time from Rasisei Laila. Avol Misha, that the problem is your job isn't to be the thinker. Avol Misha mevatel ritzono shelo liratzos rak ratzon Hashem. If a person turns around and thinks to himself, I'm going to do what God asks of me, ayideizeh Hashem yisbarach meir lo lios b'yemes hakol karatzon Hashem yisbarach. The goal of a human being, in the lesson of Agag and Shol, is to understand that our job is to turn around and do the will of Hashem. You want to know how to figure out if I'm doing the right thing, doing the wrong thing? Look, each of us has a responsibility to do that, but the way to figure it out is to look in Shulchan Aruch, to have Rabbayim, to ask the Gedolei Aposkim, what am I supposed to do? We say, Chuasa Mayisal Anetzach, how is God the salvation? V'lo yikomu lanetzach, Nitzchius will never be embarrassed when kol hachosim, where you put your trust, to do the ratzon Hashem. Not to outthink HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to look at something and say, but there's a future, so therefore there's going to be a purpose in the present. We're not supposed to do that. And we're not supposed to trust our guts. We're supposed to trust the halacha. And here's where Shaul failed. And here's the lesson that Esther Hamalka brings out. Haman still stays in the moment. Haman still becomes an agagi. L'tov u'l'ra. As a Amalekite leader, but also as a pejorative. You're an Eved. But you want only one thing in life. And what's that? To be a disastrous individual. Listen to the comment of the Ungvar Rebbe, the Mishnah Halachos of Menashe Klein, in the 13th volume of Mishnah Halachos. Source 17. Ungvar Martinu Dover Kein Zeb Melech Yisrael Arishon Shol Amelech Hashem Chamal Ala Gag Bishanan Away Love Misa. Shol destroys his own Nitzchias because why? Because he worried about the Nitzchias of Agag. V'lamadnu od misham, says the Ungvar Rebbe, we learn another lesson. Even if your intention is true, and it's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Osur la'asosu ischashev al pi hahergesh. Your job is not to trust your own gut. Elalasos masha, irak masha tznitz tavenu, sharehem l'shem shamayim kivnu. You have to do what God commands you. When God comes to you and he tells you, Velosachmo, your job is not to turn around and show chemla, even with a bazillion rias, that you are right. Your job is to turn around and do what Hashem asks you. And here's where Shaul fails. And here's where Esther Hamalka has the responsibility to highlight. Because Chuas Ma'isal HaNetzach tells us that when you are in that situation, don't be an Agagi. Don't be a Shaul HaMelech, even if you're a descendant of Shaul. Agag wants to get you to only think in the present. The counterpoint of a present is a future, but not a future that is not desired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chu'asam ha'yisa lo'netzach, Esther embeds it throughout the Megillah. If we are lo yikomu la'netzach kol achosim bo, those who place their trust in the raton and the will of Hashem as directed, we never get lost. Which leaves me with only one question. Because it turns out Shaul was right. What do we do? How are we to explain those children in Bnei Brak? If Shaul did the wrong thing, how could it turn out that Mibnei Bonav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah Bnei Brak? How could it be? Listen to the comment of the Yaros Dvash of Rabbi Honus and Ibishitz. He now Toisus Megillah, Toisus Masechta Megillah, Hanuscha Lomar, Arur Haman, Be'arurim Banav. If you take a look when we say after V'lo Yikomu La'netzach Kol HaChosim Bo, Arur Haman, it's not the way it appears. Toisus says the correct language is Arur Haman, Be'arurim Banav. Ach anu lo noagin lomar arurim panav, says Rav Yonis and Ebeshitz, we don't say the children are cursed because of our Gemara. Dimi b'nei banav lam du tor b'nei brak. Achatayin kasha, ech anu amrim harur haman. How could you go ahead and say cursed be haman? After all, v'alo milas arur no seves al zaro, when you say something's cursed, it goes into the children, right? Arur kanan, evad avadim yelechav, means forevermore. Ach yesh lomar, says the author of the Aros Tavash, Rabbi Yonis and Ebeshitz, Alpi Mashi Yesh Lomar, Deha Decham Al Shol Al Agag V'lo Harago. You want to know why Shol showed Chemla and he didn't kill him? Hayatos L'Shem Shemayim. He sinned, but he sinned for heaven. Ki Rosh Asidin Latzis Mimenu Chachmei Yisrael, he knew Jewish leaders were going to come, Shalom Du Torah B'Mnei Brak. V'yamar Eich Aroges Agag Kodim She'olid Osama Tolados. How do I kill Agag before those children come? If he would have done the will of Hashem and wiped out Agag, those children who would have been born in Bnei Brak would have been born Jewish. So don't think for a moment that you saved Torah. That Torah, which came from a roundabout source, right? That roundabout Torah would have come direct. That's why we're allowed to say Arur Haman. It would have been better that the neshama should have had an origin in the Jewish people. Arur Haman, you're still cursed. The fact that you have future children that aren't cursed, that doesn't mean that you don't deserve to be cursed. Rabbi Nissim Gaon says, who are those children? How do you go ahead and save? Of course, if we're in Bnei Brak, we come to the Hainu Rabbi Akiva Shoyaben Agerim Varyabib Bnei Brak. The children of Haman were none other than Rabbi Akiva. Can you imagine the Torah that would have been Rabbi Akiva from the beginning if we didn't have to wait 40 years for him to come around? So in sum, Agag plays a critical role in our Megillah. He plays a critical role in Sefer and the development of Am Yisrael and Sefer Shmuel, etc. He teaches us not to live for the now, to live forevermore, but to recognize when an enemy is trying to go ahead and bring out Chemla, and God tells you to do something that doesn't sound to be the nicest thing in the world, our job is to trust our Nevi'im and to listen to the will of Hashem. When we go ahead and we have that ability, Chuasam Hayisal HaNetzach, we will always have the ability to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu ride with us and rise with us, and we will not only experience a Yemei HaPurim of Simcha V'Sasun V'Kar V'Yemei Purim HaElu Lo Yamushu
v'zichrom l'yasuf mizaram. I thank you all for joining us. Be'ezras Hashem, we should have a wonderful Purim Sameach.